It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, Connie Stanfill is here with me now to teach. Welcome, Connie. What is today's theme?
Well, we are back in Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 to 43, and we're going to find out how God blesses Jacob.
All right. Well, I'll read the passage, and then Connie will teach. And here we go, picking it up here in verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know that the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs is, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said."
All right, so we find Jacob here is now dealing with his father-in-law, Laban. And Jacob remembers his promise to God and God's promise to him, and he wants to return to his homeland, to where God had called him to be, to Canaan. And so he goes to Laban and he asks him to send him away with the blessing. But Laban has figured out, it says by divination, which meaning he's involved in the magic arts, in some sense, that God is the one who has blessed Laban through Jacob and Jacob's care of his flocks. And so he doesn't want to let Jacob go. And he says, "Okay, well, what's the deal going to be? You know, name your wages. Tell me what will make you stay." And Jacob says to him, "You know yourself that I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you have had little before I came, and it increased in abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned." And so Jacob is realizing God has blessed Laban because of God's blessing resting on Jacob. And Jacob's saying, "Now I need to provide for my own household." And Laban again says, "What shall I give you?" He's really a bargainer. He's the one who wants Jacob to come up with it. And Jacob says, "You don't have to give me anything. Let me have the young that are going to be born that are speckled or spotted or black." And apparently these were the less prevalent type of sheep, and they were also the less desirable because they weren't pure in color, or the black lambs, which they thought weren't as great. So it seems to be a win-win in a sense. Jacob is going to know exactly who is livestock, or the kind of livestock that he has. And Laban is thinking, well, he's taken the least and the ones we don't care about, so let him have it. And there is a brilliance to the plan in that they can easily separate whose is whose because of the markings on the animals. So Laban agrees, and he is going to go along with this plan. And we're going to find out that Laban takes a little extra measure to ensure it works out to his advantage.
All right, and it goes like this in picking it up in 35. "But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons." Okay. "And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, camels and donkeys.
Thank you, Amy. I think there's three things I want us to notice in this segment of Genesis. And the first one is that Laban is a cheat and a deceiver, and he manipulated because he had his sons take any of the marked animals and put them 3 days away. And so you would think that then there would be no chance for Jacob to have any young that would be have those markings because the adults are gone.
Yeah.
But God works in different ways. And also, I don't think Laban understood genetics completely about recessive genes and all those type of thing. But we also find that Jacob is attempting to work through this. And so he has this idea of putting sticks with white markings on and laying them in front of the flock when they breed. We don't really, this is an unusual breeding method. We don't know that it, really don't think it had anything to do with it. But again, God was the one who was going to bless Jacob and make things work for him. Obviously, though, Jacob is a skilled herdsman, and he knows how to take care of the flock, and he was wise in having the stronger animals breed at the time that he thought he wanted to have young born for him. So all in all, he's taking good care of the flock, but we find God is taking care of Jacob. And then finally, the end result is that Jacob increased greatly, and not only having flocks, but he has male servants and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And so it's going to be 6 years of time here that Jacob is going to become exceedingly prosperous. And again, it's the Lord's blessing doing it to Jacob. And we also, as we consider this whole lesson, we'll see that God's promise to Jacob is being fulfilled, that he will keep him, he will bless him, and he's preparing to get him ready to come back to Canaan with great prosperity. Really, as we consider as women what God might be doing in our lives, how do we look to God? How do we respond to his words and promises, perhaps even despite conflict with people or difficulty in our circumstances? You know, what is it that God might be doing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Connie. You know, as I look at these stories, and Nancy and I are going to be talking about this in just a moment, we really have to understand, do we trust God for his promises? And that trust thing is so hard, isn't it?
It is. And so hopefully as we continue on in Genesis, we'll see more and more how God reveals himself to the people that we're told about, and may we grow in the Lord also. That concludes our session in Genesis for today. Please find the notes on naomistable.com.